2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We spoke last week about the glory of the gospel and the high esteem in which the Apostle Paul held it. And we hoped that, like him, we might never lose our sense of awe and wonder at the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We noted Paul's use of the phrase, the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. And then a little bit later he said, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And these are delightful. They're powerful expressions, which again, flowing from the pen of the apostle, reveal the respect and the admiration that Paul had for this gospel that had been committed into his care. And we do well to remind ourselves that Saul of Tarsus, Paul as was, had been a Pharisee of the Pharisees, a man steeped in Old Testament wisdom and in religious philosophy and dogma. But this message of God's gospel in Jesus Christ thrilled the apostle beyond all else. And it humbled him as well. It humbled him also. It's therefore noticeable, I think, when we move into this seventh verse, to see how this servant of the Lord describes himself and his contribution to the work of gospel preaching. He begins our verse today by talking about this treasure, by which he means the glorious gospel, that we've just mentioned. And it is a treasure. It's a treasure which is valuable. It's costly. It's rare. And yes, it's desirable. It's a revelation. It's ancient wisdom. And it contains exceeding great and precious promises that are free, that are absolute, and that are unconditional, that flow to God's people entirely from his goodness and by grace. There are promises of salvation in this treasure, of justification, of a perfect righteousness and holiness freely granted, of eternal life and heavenly peace as the prospect that is laid up before us. And men can spend their whole lives searching for treasures that fade away and corrupts. And here, right in our hands, is a treasure that endureth forever. I hope that we never diminish its worth by what we say or do, or lessen its value by how we treat it. And let me just insert something here, if I may. All who preach a free will gospel, and all who preach a hybrid gospel of grace and works, a diluted gospel, are diminishing and lessening its value. No end. They're selling us a stone wrapped in tinfoil. They call it the gospel, but it really is no gospel at all. Our friend George has just finished another book about counterfeit gospels, and we've had a couple of chapters in recent editions of New Focus magazine. But a counterfeited article may look attractive. It may superficially look like the real thing, but it isn't the real thing. It's fool's gold. It isn't gospel treasure. But the Apostle Paul says, we have this treasure. We have the gospel of Christ by faith in Christ. But he says, we have it in earthen vessels. And here's another delightful phrase from the pen of the apostle, earthen vessels. How descriptive is that? It's beautiful. The gospel is a glorious, shining light. But in us, it is hidden because we are earthen vessels. Just like Gideon's lamps, the lamps of his 300, his army, were hidden in the army's pots and pitchers. An earthen vessel is made of clay, the dust of the ground, the dust from which our bodies originally came and to which our flesh shall return. Gospel preachers like the apostle, and indeed believers in general, are only mean receptacles of the glory that is the gospel. We have no glory of ourselves, but all glory must be God's alone. I want to draw two or three quick lessons here from the little phrase earthen vessel. We continue to repeat the phrase salvation is of the Lord, and we do repeat it, don't we? Sometimes we say it even mantra-like, but I think we shall spend our whole lives discovering endless ways in which that little phrase salvation is of the Lord is in fact true. Even the great apostle who spent his life travelling and ministering and preaching the truth knew that far from in any way enhancing the message, he actually inhibited it from being seen. And we should not lose that insight. Believers do not and cannot improve upon this gospel. Not even a great apostle like Paul. He looked odd. He sounded odd. He was an unattractive individual in many ways. He provoked opposition wherever he went. And in so many ways, he repressed the effectiveness of the gospel simply by being a man, simply by being a sinner and a fallen creature. It isn't eloquence or intellect or charisma that makes a preacher effective. That might make an inspirational speaker, and people can be distracted by inspirational speakers, but it doesn't make a preacher of the gospel. If a sinner is savingly touched by the gospel, it is despite the channel, despite the preacher, not because of him. Salvation is of the Lord. And that is such a wise act by the Lord, to use earthen vessels to carry and convey the glorious, shining gospel of Christ. It is such a wise way of dealing with it. He chooses to employ sinners like us to witness to one another and to preach to one another, but he does not allow us to take any glory for the gospel achievements and successes. Any success is the work of God the Holy Spirit in the soul of the sinner. Any good at all is in spite of the man who is only an earthen vessel, tending rather to hide than show the glorious gospel. But there's something else here that we shouldn't miss. The light that shines in the earthen vessel shines down at our own feet. Think about that in your mind's eye for a moment. Think about Gideon's men as they marched once again. They walked unseen right up to the edge of the Midianite camp, but they didn't stumble and they didn't fall in the darkness. Each man of their 300 had their own footlight. And this glorious gospel lightens our paths one step at a time. Maybe you feel it would be better if the Lord showed you a bit more of what the future holds, a little bit more information or a little bit more control. That would just make us proud. And again, there's no room for pride in Christ or in the Christian life. When we see only one step ahead, it comforts us in the moment, but it also causes us to trust Christ for the future. Nevertheless, we can see one step. We follow the Lord one step at a time as he gives us light to do so. And finally, here's the last point. There's another image, I think, which will encourage and comfort us. This gospel, like many other treasures, is not immediately discoverable. The gospel is like diamonds or gold in the earth that have to be dug up and have to be dug out, or the fruit of the harvest that has to be worked for and gathered in, or a pearl in an oyster that has to be sought out in the depths of the sea and is covered, is shielded and unseen because of a common shell, an earthen vessel. And yet all of these are very valuable, though they are initially hidden and unseen. And if we have the gospel treasure in our hearts, it may not be immediately obvious. It may not be seen by those around about us to any great extent. But we are, despite appearances, the most precious. Precious to the Lord, precious to the angels, precious to our brothers and sisters in the church, and we should acknowledge that we are so. Next week, we're going to spend a little bit of time thinking about all the trouble that the Apostle Paul encountered for the cause of the gospel. But let us be aware that the Apostle knew how blessed he was to be a possessor of such a wonderful gift. We may not have lands, we may not have titles, we may not have honour in this world, but the elect of God are the richest, most privileged people in the face of this earth. That lump of dirt don't look much, but inside is a flawless diamond, a vein of pure gold, and a pearl of great price. And I tell you this, little Zoom room might not seem much to the world, but angels stand in awe of us. Devils tremble, and the Lord himself smiles upon his beautiful bride and his prized possession. Amen.